This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Always. It's just all we are. The epitome of class, style, and sophistication. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo, and you. The Hub City Spartan Burgers text line / call-in line is open for you. 844-326-3663. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is that number. You can shoot us a text at 844-326-3663. You can call and get in on the radio program at 844-326-3663. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo One Word. You can tweet everybody at the station at the Fan Upstate. And of course, you can shoot me an email, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. It is 8 o'clock in the morning. It is time for your audio blitz. The best audio that we have found since the last time that we did the audio blitz. We're going to pop around quite a bit today. Let's start with this one. Patrick Warburton. Do you know who Patrick Warburton is? Patrick Warburton is a voice, well, an actor / voice actor. He is the guy that, if you've ever seen it, voiced Cusco in Emperor's New Groove. He also voiced Joe from Family Guy, if you know who that is, and a host of other characters.
He has a very distinctive voice. When you hear him, you go, oh, yeah, I know who that guy is. Yeah.
When I play the sound here in just a minute, you'll be like, oh, that guy. I know that guy. He does have a very, very deep, bassy, distinctive voice. Patrick Warburton was on an episode of Seinfeld a very long time ago, in which he played the boyfriend of Elaine. And in a scene of Seinfeld, his character and Elaine were going on a vacation together, going on a trip together, and they took an airplane flight. And, you know, Seinfeld being a show about nothing and everything all at the same time. Patrick Warburton's character got on the airplane and went through the whole flight doing nothing. No book, no music, no movie, no entertainment at all. He just sat in his seat and stared straight ahead. And this has become a bit of a viral trend in the travel world right now. People The term is raw dogging flights. No entertainment, no movie, no music, no book, no talk. You just sit in the seat.
That term sounds like it's referencing something else.
It does mean something else. It means doing the boom boom, sans protection. But
so I don't see how that applies to this.
It has been adopted and adapted as an everyday usage word by the youngsters in America to reference doing something without the benefit or the compliment of something that traditionally comes with that. So, like, for instance, great one, if you were playing a video game, and in that video game, you were playing through without using saves, right? No saves in this game. If I die, I die, a start over. Elden Ring, for instance.
Hardcore mode.
Correct. They may say, you're raw dog in that video game. That is to say, you're playing through without the benefit of something that would make that experience easier for you. If you were at, you know, if you're eating a hot dog and you're not putting anything on it, you're talking weenie and bun. You're just sticking the weenie in the bun.
No, it would be like what most people do and just pull it right out of the pack. That would be.
That's it. If you absolute psychopathic weirdos are just pulling the wiener out of the pack and eating it, I would say you're raw dogging that hot dog.
Okay.
Right?
There we go.
So, Patrick Warburton's character, raw dog to flight. No entertainment, no books, no movies, no music, no nothing. And it has become a viral trend for people to do this and to document themselves, Instagram, whatever. To document themselves going on a multi-hour plane flight with nothing to do. And Patrick Warburton has commented. First off, if I had that man's voice, I'd be nationally syndicated 10 years ago. If I had that man's voice, if I could do a whole show like that, I'd be somebody. Second off, I haven't related to anybody that closely since Siwoo Kim said he bangs Red Bulls and Tylenol PMs to get himself through a round of golf. Like, I relate. I don't do well when I don't have something to focus, dial in on, concentrate on. Even when I go for a ride in the car, I drive every time, everywhere. My wife is in, and I, it's my choice. My wife is the definition of passenger princess. She gets to sit in the front seat. She gets to control the radio most of the time. She gets to you know, she can scroll the gram or whatever because I'm not worried about it. If I can just stay dialed in on driving the car, I got something to fixate on. However, the every now and then that she has to drive somewhere, if I'm in the front seat, I lose my mind. I lose my mind in my own mind. I get it. Zoe, what is the absolute longest you think you could just sit in a chair and do nothing at all? No reading, no music, no movies, no comic books, no DVDs, no nothing. You just sit and stare straight ahead.
Well, I've done that before. It's called an MRI. A full body MRI and you're claustrophobic.
But that's like what? That's like 45 minutes?
Oh, that's what they said. It sure did seem a lot longer.
Oh, I'm sure it seemed like a lot longer, but that's part of the torture of raw dogging something like a flight.
So here's the thing. If I'm sitting still for that long period of time, if it's making someone else uncomfortable, I can do that all day.
Right, but I'm not talking about that. You're just in a chair. Nobody else is watching you. Nobody else is studying you. Nobody else is being bothered by you. It's just you sitting in a chair.
All right. The only time my mind ever goes blank is when I'm talking to someone in public. So if I'm just sitting in a chair, dude, I can entertain myself. I can sit there forever and not do anything.
Oh, see, I can for a while. And then the invasive thoughts win. Then I remember that one time I was talking to Reagan Porter in the 9th grade and I had my shot. I said something real dumb.
What's wrong with that? I mean, why would that make... So then suddenly you wouldn't want to be sitting still anymore?
You are, though, not what they call neurologically divergent. Some of us end up in that spot, and the brain goes to warp speed, and it's never to a good place, never Happy Gilmore's happy place.
Listen, I understand. I put on a killer series in my head, and there are ups and downs, and I do go over regrets, and I'm older than you, so I have a lot more, maybe, Maybe, I don't know. People can compile a lot of regrets in a short period of time, probably. But I could do this. I would think this would be a dream for you.
No.
So I'm not talking about you.
It's a horror story.
If you got on the plane and everyone in there is doing this.
Nightmare. No. Here's the thing. In a spot like that, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. In fact, if anything, I'd prefer everybody doing something because then that becomes my entertainment. The entertainment is the mom up in 3G doing her darndest to wrangle her 3-year-old. I'm like, sucks to be her. I'm entertained.
How much fun it would be to get on a plane where everyone's doing that except for you, and all you're doing is heckling, trying to get people to break.
This is the take of someone who's never been on a plane.
That's true. I never will be.
That's not how it works.
Because I don't want to die.
That's not how it works. Everybody puts in their earbuds, and they either look at their book or they watch their phone screen, and nobody moves. It would be torture.
So the stewardess comes by. You don't say anything to the stewardess. You don't talk to your friend or your family member.
They come by like once an hour, and it's cookie. Yes, please. That's it. All right. Here's one I've been carrying around for a minute that I wanted to get to. Kim Komando has been on the radio for, I don't know, 3 to 6 centuries, like since the invention of radio. And Kim Komando does a radio show about technology. She does a show where she talks about technology, not just like, here's the new phone, but like she gets into the tech itself. She's had some shows that are very interesting. She's also sometimes, I think, a bit exaggerative about the ups, the goods and the bads of tech. But she had a very interesting conversation that I want Lonzo's input on.
So you use unintelligent words, and it throws off the artificial intelligence. I get it. Listen, I have a problem with Kim Komando, and I've had a problem with her for a very long time, and it's never going to go away. And I one of my duties around the building is to do affidavits, which are, you know, you fill out information to say a program actually played. We had Kim Komando, I don't know, for a couple decades maybe on WORD. She was the last one to go digital on her affidavits. I have a problem with
that. That's ironic and hilarious.
I have a problem with that. I still had to hand write all her affidavits forever. Everybody else is digital. And I'm like, how stupid. I mean, you do a technical and you can't. That's
again, like I said, I think part of the shtick for her for a very long time has been like to be overly fearful of the advancement. Like, talk about it, and here's what it can and can't do and how it works and its features and all that, but also a little bit, like, overly fearful of stuff like this. My question here, great one, is as we continue the march towards the domination of artificial intelligence, if this theory is correct...
By the way, I don't believe the theory. Have you tested it?
I'll test it right now. I'll test it right now.
So you're going to type it?
Yeah. That's what she's talking about.
Okay,
so if you go to Google and you type in, let's say, who led Major League Baseball in RBIs last year? The first thing that comes up is a Google AI overview, right? Like it brings up your Google answer and it will give you the answer to that question. If you type in who led Major League Baseball in RBIs last year, Google doesn't respond to you with an AI overview. It just goes straight to the straight Google results, right? So.
Wait, you just tried it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it worked.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for
it. And it worked. I threw it in. It gave me the AI overview of last year's RBI leaders. And then I typed in who led in RBIs
last year. Here's a problem. So you typed in a search and then you typed in the same search adding another word. Type in a totally different search and put an F-bomb in there and see what happens.
All right, let's type in this. What is the distance from the Earth to the Sun?
No, go ahead and put the word in there.
Well, no, you said two different questions. I typed in, what is the difference from the Earth to the Sun? The distance from the Earth to the Sun is 93 million miles or 149 million kilometers, but the distance to the furthest planet, Neptune, is nearly 3 billion miles. Now...
I think you're missing the point.
No, I'm asking a totally different question now. Let's ask how many bleeping moons... does Jupiter have? No, it goes straight to website results.
Yeah, but so you're still getting results. I don't know how this gets rid of AI.
Okay, no.
Because there's AI that does the search for you.
Wait. You know what the AI over... So the AI overview, right? Instead of sending you, here's the websites that we believe via Google search and our algorithm answers your questions correctly. The AI overview is an AI bot that up at the top will actually answer the question directly. It doesn't say, oh, if you go to this way, click on this website, your answer will be there. It actually will say, well, the distance from the Earth to the moon is 93 million miles. However, based on the strategic position of location of Earth in its orbit, it can range from X miles to Y miles, and the difference is this, and it's at this time of year, and it will fill in all this information along with your answer in just a paragraph of information that you don't have to click on anything. It's just right there. But if you ask the same question and you throw a in there, it won't give you that AI overview. It just goes straight to giving you the websites with answers on there. So my question is, though, hypothetically and theoretically, if you were to find out definitively that you could remove AI from your online interactions, but all you had to do was not say, but type or into the type box.
So
would you type those words if AI left you alone?
So I get your argument. And I also get what you're trying to do here, which I don't understand.
Asking a question.
Yeah, but people have been trying to do this to me forever, and it does. I mean, just because I have no interest in using the words. First of all, your theory is flawed because what runs the search engine?
Google.
AI runs the search engine.
No. No, it doesn't.
So you're saying there's someone over there, there's some dude named Google. They want to know this.
Wait. There is a difference between just programming and AI. Those are two different things, right? And it's very complex and complicated. We could do a whole show about it. But there is a difference between programming, in which the program is told, if these combinations are put in there, then you scan to find those combination of words, and then you just list the websites that have them, versus AI, which says, okay, first you're going to go find those combinations of words, then you're going to read that website, then you're going to take that information and you're going to summarize it into a paragraph that is going to make the most sense, and you're going to give the predominant information and exclude the other information. There's like a bunch of steps that all rely on each other, bang, 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 to give you this info. There is a difference. And AI learns from people saying, yes, this was right, or no, this was bad.
There's some form of AI used in any form of computing present day. So I don't think there's any way to get rid of it. I know what you're trying to say.
There's no way to remove AI.
Then
you have been fearful of AI since Facebook and AOL back in the early 2000s, late 90s?
Yes.
Okay.
Sci-fi happened before this, okay? Before any of this was possible, Terminator happened. Before any of this was possible, a lot of those movies that talked about the dangers of sci-fi, 2001: A Space Odyssey, which did not come out in 2001. The book was out like in the 70s. So, yes.
Okay, fair enough. Just making sure. All right, I got some more sound for you when we come back. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio, the Fan Upstate. Got a couple more sound bites I want to play for you here on the radio show as we roll through an extended audio blitz. Some of the best audio we've heard over the past 24 hours. This one I just love because it's a Christopher Walken story. You all know, of course, Christopher Walken. I don't even have to do a mid-impression. Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken years ago. Christopher Walken's obviously been in a litany of incredible projects over the years. But there is one project that stands out above the rest. There was one moment in American culture in which Christopher Walken had the most impact he's ever had. And of course, Lonzo, that project was...
Cowbell.
Correct. Christopher Walken starred in a Saturday Night Live sketch that starred Jimmy Fallon, Will Ferrell, and others that was a mock of Blue Oyster Cult recording their hit Don't Fear the Reaper, which, of course, has very prominently featured a cowbell in the background. And the skit was Will Ferrell's character, wearing way too small of a shirt, was getting his first opportunity to feature the cowbell in a song. And Christopher Walken was the director, the producer of that song, Bruce Dickinson. And he puts on his pants just like everybody else, baby, one leg at a time. But when he's in them, he makes gold records. And he needs more cowbell. He's got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell. It went on to, it's still quoted today. This sketch has been off TV for 20 years. It's still quoted today. Well, Will Ferrell was on Speak of the Devil, Jimmy Fallon's show the other night, and told a story about an interaction he had with Christopher Walken. What are you going to do? Christopher Walken, according to Will Ferrell, told Will Ferrell, people are bringing cowbells to my Broadway play and ringing them at me instead of applauding. So my waiter served me a pasta bolognese and said, would you like some cowbell with that? I don't know why I find that as funny as I do, but the fact that Christopher Walken is, two decades later, still dealing with people asking him if he needs more cowbell rings hilarious to me, because in my head, Christopher Walken's a real nice guy in real life. He's just a real sweet old guy in real life. And at this point, he's got to be burned out on being asked, do you need more cowbell?
Really? Because in my mind, he's kind of, he's snarky and underneath, and everyone thinks he's joking, but he's just messing with everyone. That's how I believe he is.
In my head, Christopher Walken has got to be a blast to hang out with. I want to go grab a beer with Christopher Walken. Guy's great in my mind. And now I just want... Christopher Walken, if I ever meet you, I promise I won't ask you if you want more cowbells. Jaden, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's a guy like that who's been impersonated so many times. Can you sit with that guy and not accidentally do it?
Yeah, I think I can. I think I can. It's kind of the same premise of, like, I curse like a sailor off the radio. And the only time you've ever had to dump me on the radio is when I say championship, but I forget to pop the P at the end, and that's it, hence the boat joke. I think I can make the transfer. Jaden Daniels' mama. Jaden Daniels, of course, your 2024-25 NFL Rookie of the Year for the Washington Commanders. Bum, 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 bum. Jaden Daniels' mama sat down for a podcast not too long ago, and she was asked, what's her biggest fear for her son's career? Mama's going, mama. Don't care if you're the 2024-25 Rookie of the Year. Mama's going, mama. I have this weird reaction to that. Because on one hand, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get it. There have been horror stories about professional athletes out there making it big, getting the millies, and then getting baby trapped into, you know, 20 years of tens of thousands of dollars a month in child support. On the flip side, if you have ever, and I have, dated someone who had an overprotective parent, it's the worst thing in the world for that person. Okay? 1997, 1998-ish. Rob Brown was a freshman in high school. And it was time for the Choctawhatchee High School homecoming. I was taking a young lady from Crestview, Florida, by the name of Crystal. I don't remember her last name. She, as a freshman in high school, was 6'2" tall. Rob Brown's always had a thing for tall girls. And I ended up taking a limo. The parents got me a limo for homecoming. And I went there, and I picked her up, and I knocked on the door. And her dad brought me down into his basement to show me his gun collection. And then asked me what time his daughter would be home. Now, fortunately for me, I grew up in a family around guns. They don't scare me. I grew up in a family around guns. I still own firearms. They don't scare me. So I was like, well, you know, dance is over at 11. I figured maybe we stop and get snack on the way home and whenever after that. That wasn't the right answer. I went to that homecoming with that girl and never saw her again. Not because her dad scared me, but because I'm like, I'm not putting up. I mean, as like a ninth grader, I'm like, I'm not putting up with that. I'm not getting a thinly veiled firearms threat from her dad every time I want to pick her up to go to Dairy Queen. I'm not doing it. Jaden Daniels' mom going, my biggest fear is girls, and I'm not letting some woman get her hooks in my baby boy.
Well, you do know where he's been, including last night. I mean, he's been showing up at Juju Watkins games, and that's been the rumor that they're actually dating. And he was there when she got hurt last night.
I mean, again, cool. Like, good. I hope that mom gets out of the way and just lets JD have a normal relationship. Sure. But, like, overbearing mom, that can be dangerous. On the flip side, mom who's involved and cares, good for JD.
Yeah, you say that. But when the Ball family is in, you know, is in the limelight, you get all mad about LeVar. But it's okay.
I just said I'm a little creeped out by Jaden Daniels' mom because okay. I'm worried she's going to prevent him from having like a normal life.
Yeah, it looks like she's just trying to get some spotlight. And again, it's all over the internet. It has been for the last few days, maybe week, that he's been showing up to all Juju Watkins games.
Hey, so, I'm out of the TMZ circle. All right, last one.
I think I just read it on Esquire, but you know,
fair enough. Last one, Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata are a couple of hosts on WFAN. The St. John's Red Storm made a run to the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament, upset by John Calipari's Arkansas Razorbacks. Well, if you followed the saga of the Red Storm this year, you knew that suddenly Spike Lee became the biggest Red Storm fan out there. Spike Lee was suddenly showing up on the sideline, but it just happens to be in the same year where a documentary was being made in season about St. John's. Well, Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata, both St. John's guys on WFAN in New York, were not thrilled about it. You got to be passionate about your squad to call out Spike Lee as a fraudulent fan,
especially when you're in New York.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, man, this is dangerous territory.
Yeah. Calling out Spike. Here's the thing. I don't know. Again, St. John's is, and we're going to talk about this coming up here in just a minute, because I heard a conversation on like 10 different shows yesterday, including Pat McAfee, about, you know, is NIL and transfer portal going to kill the mid-major Cinderella in March Madness? We'll get to that in a minute. But St. John's crops up every February and March. They show up, and I've never seen Spike that way. All of a sudden, St. John's is on the camera with Ricky P., and now Spike's the biggest St. Johnny Johns fan in the game. I kind of think they have a point, to be honest. I kind of think they have a point. Like, you were taking the limelight away from the basketball team, a basketball team you haven't shown up for ever before. I don't know, man. I think they might have a point up in the Big Apple. All right, when we come back, that conversation raged yesterday. Is NIL going to kill the possibility of mid-major Cinderellas in the March Madness tournament? I don't care, and I'm going to tell you why when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So yesterday I was working from the Casa de Love, and I was sitting on the couch. I was putting together a social media video about Dan Hurley, which will be live on the Facebook page 30 minutes after the show is over. Spent like 2 hours putting this damn video together last night. It's good though. Be live on the Facebook page. It'll be live on YouTube about 30 minutes after the show is over as well. mainly because I finished it at like 12:15 this morning, and I'm like, this is a bad time to post on social media. I'm an influencer.
You really should go to bed like at 9, maybe 10, latest.
But
good night's rest.
That's when the sports are on. It's problematic for my career.
Not yesterday.
Yes, it was. The women's college basketball tournament was on late last night. The NBA and NHL were playing games last night. I don't believe you can do this job without watching the games.
Yeah, and you can watch the games. It's called DVR.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
But then I have to get up an hour earlier. What's the point? I might as well just stay up when I'm up.
It's better to get up earlier than it is to stay up
late.
Not
for me, it's not. It's the same thing for me. Anyway, last night I was, or yesterday afternoon, I was working from the Casa de Love, and I was sitting on the
couch.
You're
awful cranky today. I'm just saying. So I think your opinion and your belief on that is absolutely wrong.
Okay, that's fine. I don't, because I'm me, and I do the research on me every day. I've done the experimentation, okay? So I was sitting on the couch at the Casa de Love with the dog watching TV. And I heard a topic of conversation that came up on like three different shows yesterday. The conversation was NIL and the transfer portal will be the death of the mid-major Cinderella in the March Madness tournament. The death of the St. Peter's Peacocks, the death of FAU, etc., etc. And there were folks, woe is me, lamenting this across the radio broadcast and television shows yesterday. And I would like to respond to that by saying very simply, how's that different than it's ever been before? How's that different than it's ever been? It's never been easy. That's why we celebrate that. So to say it's never going to happen, here's the thing. FAU, when they made their deep run into the tournament, they got to the Final Four, if I recall correctly. When FAU made their run into the tournament, they had three players on the roster that are now active on now today, Sweet 16 teams. Their starting point guard is at Maryland. Their starting center is at Michigan. And I forget where the third guy is. But he's on a Sweet 16 team now as well. And somebody said, well, yeah, I mean, these kind of guys. These guys filled out a mid-major roster. And now they're not there. Now Michigan and Maryland, these other schools, they step in and they go, hey, come play here. We got NIL money. Here's what's interesting about those three guys from FAU that are now on the rosters of three Sweet 16 teams today. What's interesting is all three of those guys entered the college basketball recruiting cycle as zero star, unheralded, uncovered recruits. Okay? All three of them. All three guys that are now on Sweet 16 rosters. A point guard, a center, and a shooting forward. All three of them were signed to play basketball at FAU as zero star, unheralded recruits. And FAU turned them into something special. That's what mid-majors have to do. Whether it's St. Peter's or it's FAU or it's McNeese State. By the way, they're not McNeese State anymore. They're just McNeese now. They dropped the state from their name officially. I don't like it. That's a different conversation. But regardless of who you are, the job of a mid-major, if you want to become a Cinderella, Cinderellas are rare. You'll also notice Cinderella is a, say it with me, fairy tale. The description of a thing that we all say, this would be awesome if it was real, but it's not. It's a fairy tale. Here's the other thing that I throw at people. You don't care either. Back in the first hour of the show, we did a segment about Maryland's win on a buzzer beater over Colorado State. And we did a segment on how Derek Queen, the man who scored the buzzer beater walk-off for the Turtles, traveled. And it wasn't called. Now, there is an argument over letter of the law rules. The ball was kind of bouncing between his hip and his hand, so it wasn't technically collected, and he collected it before he took two steps, but does that first step that came after the dribble was over, but before a collection of the basketball, does that count? Big conversation. We can get into the call and travel and legislating the game and all that later. The problem that I had was with one young lady from the Grind City Media podcast, who said that you're a killjoy, you're a buzzkill, if you wanted that to be called travel, because hey, we got a buzzer beater, we were all entertained, we got these great post-game press conference conversations, right? We got the head coach of Maryland saying Derek Queen in the huddle said, "Give me the mother ball." We had Derek Queen in the post-game presser talking about how, hey, what's the best thing Kevin Willard, your coach, did for you? Oh, he got us paid. Why did this matter so much to you? You got tears in your eyes. Why does it matter? Because I'm a Baltimore kid, and I wanted to play at Maryland to prove to the rest of the Baltimore urban community, you can get out. You can go be somebody. And it's a great moment. In fact, I'm going to play it for you a little bit later on in the show. Great moment. Here's the thing. Colorado State could have, should have, probably did win that basketball game. And this lady says, yeah, I don't really care if the rules of the game are properly legislated as long as I'm entertained. You only care about mid-majors being successful in the tournament for your own 2 minutes of entertainment. You're on to the next thing. You want to know how I know? You want to know how I know? How many of y'all, sincerely, watched the McNeese State game this year? Zero. Now, why did I ask that question about that particular mid-major? Here's why. Because they opened up round one, 5-12 matchup against the Clemson Tigers. You knew for 6 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you knew for 6 days who your opponent was going to be if you're a Clemson Tiger fan. Any of you go to YouTube and pull up McNeese State games? Any of you go watch tape? Any of you go do scouting? Any of you go do analysis? I did. That's why I called that upset. Go look at my bracket in the bracket challenge if you don't believe me. Because I did the research. I watched McNeese State basketball before that game, so I could come in here and break that game down before and after. None of you did. I say the same thing about football. Whenever y'all go, NIL's going to crush the little guys, you don't care. You want to know how I know you don't care? Because if you cared, Paladin Stadium would be filled to the rafters on Saturdays. You got an FCS club right freaking here in town. In the town that y'all text and tweet and email and Facebook and call me from and go, Rob, NIL's going to kill the little guy. Cool. You could have a direct impact on the little guy on Saturdays in the fall, on any given day of the week, in the spring, in the winter. You could take your butt, put it in the front seat of a car, and take it on down to Paladin Stadium or Timmins Arena or The Well, and you could go watch Furman football play, but you don't. You could take yourself on down to Timmins Arena and go watch Furman basketball play, but you don't. I know, because I do, because I'm there, because I go. But you don't. I find it hard to believe that you honestly care about the success or failure of mid-major basketball programs when you have two of them within a 40-minute drive of Greenville into Spartanburg, or Spartanburg and into Greenville. You have not one but two FCS programs, good FCS programs. Programs that have, I believe, represented the Southern Conference three out of the last three tournaments by winning the conference. And unless Furman's playing Wofford or vice versa, you don't go. So no, I got a little agitated sitting on the couch yesterday, listening to people go on the McAfee show and go,
Well, this is sad because we're not going to get any Cinderellas anymore.
Yeah, sure you will. Because there's going to be some good coaches who care. And they're going to go to these mid-majors, and they're going to go find the FAU lineup of zero-star recruits that nobody covered, none of you care about, none of you know their names. And they're going to build a roster, and they're going to build organic chemistry, and they're going to put something together, and they're going to go up against some of these blue blood, some of these Power Four conference basketball teams that have tons of talent and guys making $1 million in NIL, but they have no chemistry. They're not a great team. It's a great collection of talent. And the mid-major, who are going to go get 3 or 4 zero and one-star guys nobody cares about but build a hell of a basketball team, are going to go pull some upsets. It's going to happen. It's a slow year for it this year. I would argue Arkansas, not a Cinderella, they're a Power Four conference basketball team. But they are an underdog. They are the best story in this tournament right now. But if you're not watching Arkansas and you're complaining because we don't have a St. Peter's, we don't have an FAU, you don't care about basketball. You care about your own entertainment, in which case I would say, go watch a freaking movie. Go watch Blue Chips. If you want drama more than you want good basketball, go watch Blue Chips. Go watch Space Jam. Go watch a basketball movie. I want the best basketball I can get. And sometimes that's going to be an FAU taking a bunch of zero and one stars, building a hell of a basketball team, and going and getting 1, 2, 3, 4 upsets and turning themselves into a story and making me a fan. I'm an Owls guy. But I want good basketball. And if that means it's chalk with 4 number ones in the Final Four, but that's the best basketball I'm getting, so be it. I'm all in for that. Do I want Cinderellas? Sure. They're entertaining. If the Cinderellas are playing the best basketball and providing me the best basketball, there will still be Cinderellas because there will still be coaches that are making their way through lower level schools and building good teams because they understand talent and they understand how to talk to a kid and they understand how to take 11 guys that nobody else wanted and build a good team. That's still going to happen. It's just not happening this year. And I know you don't care about mid-majors, and I know you don't care about second-level schools because there are 2 of them that are tournament-eligible within a 40-minute drive, whether you're going from Greenville to the Berg or the Berg to the Ville. 2 of them. And I go to games, and there's great crowds. But, like, if y'all cared about mid-majors as much as you claim that you do, Furman and Wofford would never have to take out an advertisement to sell a football or a basketball ticket. They just wouldn't. Because all of you would just be up in arms to sell out those stadiums to support mid-majors. But you don't. But you don't. You care about your own entertainment, which is fine. We all do. We all care about being entertained. That's why we love sports. We want to be entertained. But the reason this kind of sticks in the old proverbial craw is because what you're actually saying is, I don't want the players to be able to do this. I don't like it. I don't like that they're making money. That it, once again, it all boils down to, it's not the way that I like it, therefore it's bad. It's not the way that I like it, therefore I don't want it to happen. And because you don't have an actually good argument for it to stop, you make up BS arguments to make it stop. Your BS argument right now is, well, there's no more mid-major Cinderellas. There will be. There will be. They're Cinderellas. They're fairy tales because they are rare. They are fairy tales because they are rare. It'll happen again. It's just not happening this year. And that's okay, because I'm also going to say, while many of you are labeling this tournament boring, you're wrong. This tournament has been fantastic with great basketball. No overtimes, just one buzzer beater. Travel to get it. But it's been a great tournament. You are just making up this argument about Cinderella mid-majors because you don't have a good argument against something that you don't like. So you got to lie about that. And again, the fact that Furman's got to take out advertisements to sell basketball tickets is all I need to know to prove that true.
Gus Gus should win an Oscar, best mouse actor of all time. That's all I'm saying.
Stuart Little is furious.
Whatever, Stuart Little can just walk.
Wait, what about the one from
Feifel? Feifel can walk too. Miami quarterback Cam Ward held his pro day in Coral Gables yesterday and said afterward he believes he has solidified himself as a top draft pick, but that he's happy with whatever team he ends up with. The Titans have the first pick in the draft, but still have quarterback Will Levis on the roster, who they drafted in the second round of the 2023 draft. The USC Trojans women's basketball team will be without their star player for the rest of the tournament as forward Juju Watkins exited the Trojans' second round game against Mississippi State with what was later diagnosed as a torn ACL. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson, and Diesel Ride Shotgun on your drive home. Get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.